create a presence up here and a presence that we could sustain. So Susan Drumheller, who used to be on our staff, at the time she was working as a reporter for the Spokesman Review, and she was really well connected in the community, and she was hired to open our Sandpoint office. And Susan basically laid the foundation and put up the walls, and I'm speaking metaphorically here, not literally, but Susan really established the office in a really strong way and created a community to support it. You know, it's one thing to have a staffer here and an office space, but it's quite another to build the constituency to support it, and Susan really did that. And then in 2011, after Susan had been working here alone for about 3 years, we decided it was time to actually increase staffing. So we hired Nancy Dooley to be our community engagement associate. And she did a lot of work doing outreach to members, organizing events, things like that. And then I moved my job up here from Boise. I'm originally from North Idaho. I grew up in the Coeur d'Alene area, and we didn't have anybody up here doing really full-time public lands work. Susan was kind of dividing her time up amongst all the issues, and you know, that makes it hard for someone to really focus in and be an expert in, you know, a certain field. So I approached our executive director, Rick Johnson, and asked if I could move my job up here and be the public lands guy for North Idaho. So I came up here in 2011, soon after we hired Nancy, and we've really created the model here that we're using for our other field office in Sun Valley, which is we have someone doing public lands work and someone doing kind of the other community issues that Matt will talk about more, you know, kind of the backyard sort of conservation stuff. And then thirdly, someone that does the outreach and engagement of members and organizes events. So that's really the model that we're using now for our field offices, and we really pioneered that here in Sandpoint. And you know, we've got some board members in Eastern Idaho who'd like us to open, you know, like an office somewhere in that part of the state, and we'll see where that goes at some point. But certainly, if we were to have a third field office, we would probably try to replicate this model.
So before we go a little deeper into what the office here does, let's do kind of a quick, almost lightning round of name, title, and your basic overview so that people without a scorecard can tell the three of you apart if they come into the office.
Yeah, so Brad Smith, I'm the North Idaho director of the Sandpoint Field Office. And in addition to those responsibilities, my focus is largely on public lands issues. We have a lot of public lands here in Idaho, and I think that those are the natural amenities that really attract a lot of people to live in the state of Idaho. You know, we have these great outdoor opportunities. And I also focus a lot on fish and wildlife recovery. So we have a lot of threatened and endangered species in North Idaho. We have remnant populations of species that don't exist in other places where they used to. And so although those populations are kind of in a tenuous state, we're very fortunate to still have all the native fish and wildlife here in North Idaho that we always had.
My name's Emily Cleveland, and I'm the newest face in the ICL office here in Sandpoint. I started work about a week ago, so I'm pretty new to Sandpoint. My position with ICL is Community Engagement Associate. And so in my role, I'll be connecting the community to different conservation priorities that are going on within ICL, organizing outreach and putting on events for the community to get involved. So a lot of my work will be taking different projects that Matt and Brad are working on and trying to get the community involved in those efforts and just to raise awareness about different issues that are going on.
And Emily, by community, do you mean the Sandpoint community, or is there a greater region that you're working within?
That's a good question, Julie. We're based in Sandpoint, but we're really hoping to engage the communities throughout North Idaho. So that's everywhere from down in McCall all the way up to the border. So it's a large area, and that's one of the goals, is to try and make sure that all the communities in that area are really getting involved in the efforts of ICL.
And I'll just mention really quick that some of our listeners may know Nancy Dooley, who is our previous community engagement associate. And Emily, let me say back up here a second. Nancy moved on. She's taken a job in real estate, and we're very sad to see her go. But we hired Emily to take Nancy's place, and Emily has been with us all of a week, so she doesn't even have a business card yet.
So it's not time to quiz her about the membership roster.
No, no. But, you know, any of our listeners out there who who know ICL, you know, I'd encourage them to introduce themselves both to Emily and to Matt.
And take it away, Matt.
Yeah. My name is Matt Nykiel, and my position title is Conservation Associate. And my role, at least right now, I'm taking it largely following in Susan Drumheller's footsteps. She laid a really good foundation, like Brad mentioned, and focusing on air and water quality in North Idaho, as well as some more local issues like coal and oil train traffic through North Idaho, mining and mining reclamation. And then I think something that probably Emily and I will work a lot together on are community sustainability issues, such as creating trails and bike paths to make communities here more walkable and bikeable, but also like connecting people with ways that they can contribute locally to things that improve the environment, improve the quality of life here in Idaho.
So you're the new Susan.
I'm the new Susan. I used to be a new Ted, and I feel like being the new Susan's an upgrade.
And Brad's just the last guy standing or something.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I'm just a holdout.
Well, good. If you're just tuning in, this is 88.5 KRFY in Ponderay, listener-supported community radio for all of North Idaho. And this morning, we're in the studio with three guests from the Idaho Conservation League, two of them new or almost brand new in one case, learning a little bit more about the mission and work of the Idaho Conservation League at Sandpoint's office and the individuals here. So let's pick it up from there and hear a little bit more about Sandpoint office and how it's gelling. You were saying, Brad, it's a model that is being slowly or maybe quickly adopted by the Idaho Conservation League.
Yeah, you know, we really want our field offices to reflect the organization as a whole in terms of the slate of program issues that we work on. So, you know, the Boise office works on public lands and all these community issues that Matt will talk about. And we want each of our field offices to do that as well, so that we can make sure that we're covering the state from Nevada to the Canadian border, from the Oregon-Washington border to the Montana and Wyoming border, and really making sure that we are a brand name throughout the state of Idaho and that we do community conservation and public lands work throughout every part of the state.
And that sounds like a partial or most of a mission statement, but can you help me out, back up just a bit and give me the overall mission? I see conservation, I see Idaho, so it's got to do with lands, but let's
yeah, state so, that. It's going to be pretty broad. I'm not sure it's the detail you're looking for.
That's
you know,
okay.
It's sort of interesting when organizations form and they come up with their mission statements, the debates about whether to be narrow or broad, and ours is broad, so it's to protect Idaho's environment. So that was intentional so that we could really be adaptive and work on a broad swath of issues.
That was it, to protect Idaho's?
To protect Idaho's environment. And part of that is a reflection of the fact that the playing field in Idaho is just not very crowded. We do not have a lot of conservation groups in Idaho.
That works really well for me. That's one I don't even have to write down on my palm before the interview.
That's right. You know, like in Oregon or Washington or even Montana, I'm always surprised in Montana, the number of other conservation organizations that work in those neighboring states. And the playing field is so crowded that sometimes they're even arguing over turf. And we're really fortunate because we can work on a broad swath of issues. And, you know, that includes everything from the public land stuff that I talked about to clean air and clean water, wildlife conservation, open space, trails, transportation. It's
energy, pretty deep. I imagine energy gets in
energy,
there somewhere.
Climate change.
Yeah. Right.
So of all the locations that Idaho Conservation League could have branched out into, North Idaho, we think it's important, but on some levels, demographically, it might not be the first choice. Although, as I recall, Rick Johnson, the executive director of Idaho Conservation League, frequently waving a placard around about remembering North Idaho. There's a story behind that.
Yeah, so one of our former board members from Bonner's Ferry, actually, a guy named Jerry Pavia, he was a board president one time, and he had this placard for him that says, "Remember North Idaho." And so he took that down to Boise for a board meeting and gave it to Rick and reminded him that there's this other part of the state that's often overlooked. And so ever since then, I think actually Rick has done a very good job making sure that North Idaho is not overlooked. And actually, I think we've done quite well in establishing a North Idaho presence. So when we look at our membership numbers and we divide our state up into chapters, we have two chapters in North Idaho and then other chapters in Southern Idaho. The chapter that we're in, which is basically the five northern counties of Idaho, is second only to the Boise chapter in terms of raw total membership numbers. So I think we've done a really great job in connecting with our community and creating a constituency in North Idaho to support our work on conservation.
I think Rick still has that placard on his desk, right?
Oh, yeah. And every executive director from here on out will have it.
It's our mission to make sure they remember.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah.
So let's shift a little bit here and hear a little bit more background individually, and maybe we'll come back to you, Brad, give you a break here. Mm-hmm. But so, Matt, tell us how it is you came to join Idaho Conservation League.
Yeah, sure. So I'm originally, for the most part, from Colorado on the Front Range, and I went to school for undergrad in Montana and Missoula, and that's how I kind of got connected with this region. And shortly after my undergrad, I started working for the Forest Service, and that's where I connected with the environment and natural resources and led me into going to law school in Colorado. And I graduated in the spring of 2015, hoping to do work in natural resources law, environmental law. And after a year-long position with the court in Colorado, I saw the opening here in Sandpoint and had heard about it through friends in Montana, and also heard the respect that people have for the Idaho Conservation League and applied, and just feel extremely fortunate to have this opportunity.
And give us an example of the types of things you're working on, Matt.
Sure. So I'm in a lot of ways sort of a counterpart to a person we have down in Boise, and a lot of their work involves monitoring air and water quality permits. So, for example, whenever there's any sort of individual or company that needs to discharge a pollutant or any sort of liquid or something into the air, they need to get a permit for it under the Clean Air and Clean Water Act. And the discussion and commenting that takes place to develop these permits is public. And part of my work is monitoring those as they come out and examining the draft permit and trying to notice, is there anything of concern, or can we do things better or in a more environmentally conscious way, and commenting and sort of pushing individuals and companies to take notice of that. And that's an example of one thing that I'm working on.
Sure. So something's going to be changed. As an example, I don't even have a good example, but maybe even like the removal of the dam down on the Snake River, that's something that's a pretty big deal. Is that something, that's the kind of thing you'd be reviewing and looking at the proposals for that?
Yeah, that, or, the lower...
Is that in your area, or is it...
I think our office as a whole will take part in that. That's a much larger proposal.
That's biggie.
The lower four snake dams on the Snake River. But that is definitely something that ICL is involved in and is involved in reviewing. The environmental analyses of what that would mean, what it would mean to keep the dams, and then commenting on what to do.
So how have you found Sandpoint? You've been here 2 months?
2 months.
How do you like it?
It's great. I really enjoy the smaller town feel of it here, and have just been really impressed with how warm the welcome has been. I was talking with Emily yesterday that Colorado folks are fairly friendly, but here it's like one more level up. You know, it's not only that you get a warm greeting and people are willing to listen and talk with you, but it's, you know, you might get a hug, you might get a, we're really happy to see you here, can we do this for you, or can we share this with you, can we tell you about this? And it's just a little bit more than I've experienced in other places, and so my experience here has been great.
Sounds like you'll be a good tour guide for Emily in a few ways.
Yeah, yeah.
I've heard there are even people who would perform CPR on you if you needed it.
Yeah, that's right.
Because we went to a wilderness first aid class together, and that was one part of it. You've got to be pretty friendly to be willing to do that.
Yeah.
You? All right. Yep. You haven't actually needed CPR yet.
No.
No.
Okay.
No. No, it hasn't gotten that bad.
Sometimes the work can be shocking, but
yeah. Yeah. I've had anxiety, but yeah, CPR has not been needed.
So let's turn to Emily. Tell us a little bit about how you found your way to Sandpoint through the Idaho Conservation League here.
Sure. Well, interestingly, I'm also from the Front Range of Colorado. I'm trying to be a pretty big Colorado presence up here in the ICL Sandpoint office. So I went to college in Colorado Springs, which is actually where Matt's from, and studied geology. And after graduating, I decided that I didn't really want to go into industry. And academia, you really have to focus in on your specialty. And I was sort of more interested in just exploring my surroundings and learning more about all the, you know, hydrology and geophysics and sedimentology and all the different fields. And so it was hard for me to think about just focusing in on one thing. And I decided to move up to Wyoming and just kind of immerse myself in mountain town living. Did a lot of skiing, a lot of mountain biking, and after a few years of that, I decided that it was time to sort of start giving back in a way and doing something that I felt was bettering my surroundings. So I decided to go back to grad school for teaching, was the original plan, and I started a graduate program at Teton Science Schools. So that program was specifically focused on field science education and educating kids on geology, field ecology, sustainability, leadership. And there was also a component of environmental policy. And I really enjoyed that program. It was a great experience kind of fusing my interests in the outdoors with also sharing that with others. And I really liked it and ended up finishing that program to get my master's down at University of Wyoming. And there I really got drawn into the environment natural resources coursework and realized that I really wanted to be working on those sorts of issues and approaching education in a different way, doing more of the outreach and explaining conservation issues to a larger group of people. So after graduating with my master's, I did some field work in the Tetons on a fire history research project, leading a field crew up there. And then when that seasonal work was over, I moved up to Montana. And thinking that Bozeman was a bigger community than Jackson, Wyoming, and that there'd be more opportunities up there. And I ended up getting a job with Montana Wilderness Association and had a really great opportunity to do a wilderness inventory. They're redoing their forest plan down there for the Custer-Gallatin National Forest. And so the beginning part of that, they're doing a wilderness inventory. And so we were helping out the Forest Service by going around and getting some baseline data for areas that hadn't been previously inventoried for wilderness characteristics. And I was bringing volunteers out with me and trying to engage them in the landscape. And it was a great experience. And I loved working with volunteers. I loved that I was doing something that was affecting the land management and the policy around me, and getting folks excited about being involved in that. So I ended up taking this job. It seemed like a really good fit for those interests.
So using your educational background in your new position, it sounds like you'll be educating as a community engagement associate, I would think.
Exactly. Yeah.
So quick impression of Sandpoint, 1 week after?
My biggest takeaway is that there's so much water here. Coming from Colorado, where it's prickly pear and yucca and juniper mm-hmm. and ponderosa, it seems so exotic here with the lake and how much water there is. And but like Matt, I've just really been taken with how friendly and welcoming everyone is. Even when I walk into the hardware store or the grocery store, I find myself getting into conversations. People just want to strike up a conversation, and it's just a really strong community around here, and I'm excited to be a part of that.
Yeah. Well, let's keep going around the horn here. Brad, not everybody knows your story. How did you end up in Sandpoint?
Well, I grew up in the Coeur d'Alene area, and actually when my family moved to North Idaho in the mid-80s, the goal was to be in Sandpoint. But as many of our listeners know, it can be difficult to find employment in Sandpoint. And so we ended up in Coeur d'Alene because it was the next closest place with a job for my parents. And they ended up working pretty much their whole professional career in Coeur d'Alene and in the Spokane Valley, and never quite made it here. But when I finished up college, I went down to Boise because that's where the jobs were in the environmental field at the time. And actually was working part-time for the Department of Environmental Quality when I met Rick Johnson, our executive director. And there was an internship available to do public lands work. So I dropped my job with DEQ, where I was making a decent wage, and took a significant cut in my wages to go become an intern for ICL. But it was probably the best decision. Well, second best decision, in addition to after marrying my wife.
Good say.
Second best decision of my wife after my wife. But I went to go work on our public lands team, and really started diving into it because my passion is really wilderness. I really enjoy recreating in the wilderness and experiencing all that wilderness has to offer, whether it's solitude or wildlife or scenic vistas. And so I was able to basically work on the things that I really care about on a personal level. And going back to our earlier discussion, we didn't really have anybody up here working on public lands full time. So I was like, I want to go back to Sandpoint. You know, I want to be back in North Idaho, where, I really consider home. So I tell people that I'm living out my parents' dreams. They never quite made it here, but I'm living in the place that they dreamed of living in and doing the job that I dreamed of having.
Well, welcome. It's been, 4 years now?
2011 is when I relocated back. Yeah, yeah.
Time flies by. When we come back, sure, we'll get your impression of Sandpoint, but it's at the bottom of the hour, so this is a reminder that you're listening to 88.5 KRFY FM, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. We're going to take a short musical break and listen to something by the Eagles. Anyone have a guess? Julie knows. It's the new kid in town. Excellent. We'll be back. From their Hotel California album, that's the Eagles with New Kid in Town. And we're talking with a couple of the new kids in town, Matt and Emily, and an old hand, Brad. Brad, we left off with you, and I think we had everyone else's impressions of Sandpoint. Give us yours 4 years, 5 years after.
Yeah, well, Sandpoint is really the trifecta of a big mountain lake, a ski hill, and mountains to recreate in and frolic in. So it has really all the three things that I look for in a community. But in addition to that, just the vibe is really great. You know, you can walk around town and, you can always run into somebody that you know and have a friendly conversation. And the people that you don't know, are also very friendly. You know, like Emily was talking about, just going to the grocery store and standing in line.
Yes. And they're little dogs, too, I'd have to say.
Yeah.
Dogs are welcome at Sandpoint.
Yeah, and moose, too. I've been seeing moose around town again. They come back around this time of year and just saw one yesterday outside my daughter's school munching on some arborvitae. You know, they're members of the community too.
It is a moose friendly town and a dog friendly town. Although a lot of bars and restaurants bars let the dogs into their facilities, but not moose so much.
No. I suppose that that could go wrong really quickly. But yeah, you know, whether it's Laughing Dog or IPA or some of those other places, definitely see people out with their dogs.
Let's dig a little bit into the work that ICL is doing.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, as I mentioned, my focus is really on the public lands and fish and wildlife stuff in the northern part of the state. And kind of one of the big themes in the public lands world these days is sort of collaborative decision making. You know, I think a lot of people around the country are sort of frustrated with, you know, what they perceive as inaction in Congress and at almost every level of government. But I think in the public lands realm, there's signs of encouragement, at least for me, where people from various points of view are coming together to help make decisions about the management of our public lands that result in good work being done on the ground that benefits the public and benefits the resource. So you see a lot of groups that have come together, like the Kootenai Valley Resource Initiative in the Bonners Ferry area, the Panhandle Forest Collaborative in the Sandpoint area, and the Clearwater Basin Collaborative down in north central Idaho, where you have representatives of timber industry, county commissioners, tribal representatives, conservation representatives, a really diverse set of stakeholders who are working together in partnership with the Forest Service on doing things to improve the management of our natural resources. You know, often the Forest Service without these collaborative groups are in a very tricky situation where they get competing interests telling them to do something and they have to reconcile that. And really these collaborative groups give the Forest Service the social license to restore Western white pine in the Idaho Panhandle, to do fuels reduction, to protect special places as wilderness like the Scotchman Peaks. We wouldn't be able to be making the headway that we are on national forest management issues in North Idaho without people really coming together and collaborating and compromising, which I think is what the American people want, is for people to work together.
I think so too. Can you give us an example of one up in our area where a number of groups are working together?
Yeah, so I mentioned the Panhandle Forest Collaborative, and we embarked on a project called Bottom Canyon, which was on the Coeur d'Alene Ranger District, where there was a need to restore Western White Pine. Western White Pine is the state tree of Idaho, and it once made up about 80% of our forest composition, but due to past overharvest and white pine blister rust has really declined, where in some places it's only like 5%. So a big focus of a lot of these projects is to restore Western white pine. In that same project area, we also had an overabundance of roads, and these roads were bleeding sediment into the streams and impacting water quality and fish habitat. So we had all of these stakeholders around the table from the timber industry, from conservation, from the county commission offices, all working together on this project where we put together really our own project that the Forest Service ultimately decided to implement to restore Western White Pine and take out these old roads that were no longer needed for access or for management to improve water quality. And it's really been a project that has been used as an example around the state and around the West of how people can work together on the management of our national forests.
And it sounds like you're crediting the success really to the collaboration. It probably wouldn't have made it.
Absolutely. You know, with absent these collaboratives, you'll get the timber industry telling the Forest Service one thing, conservation saying another, and the best thing the Forest Service can do is try to reconcile that on their own, and then no one's happy. So really, I give credit to everybody coming together, including the Forest Service, to work these to find solutions for these complicated problems.
There's a lot of work there.
Yeah.
And with the earlier stories in mind about how ICLs split up duties, tell us a little bit, Matt, how the work you're doing layers into that or is different from that. What are some of the projects you're working on?
Yeah, I think it's different mostly in topic area, although I think the drive for collaboration is the same, because just looking at the history of ICL's work, that's what's been most effective, is working with other people and finding ways to achieve all the goals that everyone wants to achieve. And specifically, for example, something that I'm working on, largely following Susan's footsteps, is the issue of coal and oil trains traveling through North Idaho. So for those who don't know, about 4 or 5 years ago, there was a big push of proposals for oil and coal terminals on the Pacific Northwest coast, with the purpose of shipping coal and oil to Asia. And over the course of those 4 or 5 years, many of those proposals have been overturned, rejected, or suspended. And so there's for good reason, because, and there are a number of reasons, in particular to Idaho, is the danger of these trains carrying particularly harmful substances across and near our waters that potentially could contaminate our environment, but also in light of the danger of carrying a highly volatile substance like oil through communities. And so to have those proposals tabled or overturned is really a big safety win for North Idaho. And so that's one project I'm working on, is continuing that work. There are still several proposals still on the table, and we're working to, you know, both educate folks in North Idaho for what that could mean to the communities around here, and also on larger issues like climate change.
Thank you. So, Emily, what's on your plate coming up soon?
Yeah, so one of the things I've been working on this week actually is putting together our holiday party, which will be on December 7th, so mark your calendars. It's from 5 to 8 at the Idaho Poor Authority on Cedar Street, so that should be a good time. We're going to have a raffle. There'll be complimentary appetizers and great selection of craft beers over there. So it should be a good night. And then in the longer term, one of the projects I'm excited about working on is a stewardship project focused on the Selkirk's proposed wilderness. And so hopefully next summer, getting volunteers out in those areas to work with the Forest Service or work with other partners to really take a look at the trails and areas that might need a little extra stewardship help, maybe doing some trail building or erosion control, little things like that. So I think that opportunities for folks to get out into those areas is really great.
So much as I love stewardship, tell us about the party again. What's the date? what date is it?
It's December 7th.
And is it open to members only or the general public?
It's free and open to the public.
Okay. Yep. If folks want to find out more about any of these things, especially the party and the stewardship work, how do they get in touch with you guys?
Yeah, it's a good question. We have a Facebook page that usually is always updated with events and things that are going on and ways to get involved. And our website is also a great resource. It's idahoconservation.org. And from there, you can sign up for our emails. You can subscribe to be on the email list. And that's a great way to get notified about issues that are going on in the area, anything that is an opportunity for folks to volunteer with, events that they can attend, and things like that. So definitely recommend subscribing to the emails if you're interested in learning more about the work that ICL is doing.
And just to circle back for a minute to collaboration, if your stewardship project is going to be including some trail work, I don't suppose you ever call the Idaho Trails Association, do you? Those guys are maniacs when it comes to trail repair. There's an idea. I don't know if that works out with
I'm actually not sure I've introduced Emily yet to the Idaho Trails Association, but I was one of the co-founders, and they're really focused on doing trail stewardship stuff. But their work is primarily in southern Idaho. They do have a local board member who has organized some projects, Tom Dabrowski, and so I would envision us looking at opportunities, though, to
for some new, helpers.
I think much like the weight of ICL's move northward, I think Tom's pulling Idaho Trails Association northward.
Yep.
If there were chapters, this would be the largest one next to Boise.
Yep.
Seems so.
We're running short on time. Any last-minute thoughts or things we've missed you want to talk about?
Well, I just want to give a shout-out to our members really quick. You know, we are a membership-based organization, and we wouldn't be able to do the work that we do without the financial and emotional support of our members. We have about 3,500 member households statewide. And if you start counting our followers on Facebook and social media, we have about 25,000 supporters. You know, those are really the folks that give us the foundation that we need to do our work, you know, both in terms of the financial contributions they make and the support that they lend in doing the work that we do.
And let me just jump in and ask, is most of your funding from individuals? It's not from a grant or is there a combination?
There's a combination. You know, we approach our funding the way that you would in your financial investments. So we have a mix of membership dues, we have an endowment, and then we also get foundation support.
But those members are important. We sure know it.
Yep.
Well, there's a lot to talk about, and frequent listeners will know we occasionally have Idaho Conservation League on when there's upcoming events or programs or pressing issues. And so, of course, this is an open invitation to the new kids in town to come back and join or replace Brad as guests on the morning show. You can bump them out a little bit.
Well, it's always fun, Phil.
Yeah, we enjoy it. Thank you all for coming in today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very informative. Thank you.
We're going to go out with a song. Then we're going to come back. Julie and I are going to come back and talk a little bit about the community calendar stuff. But for right now, we're going to listen to David Bowie and his Changes. David Bowie and his live version of Changes, which seemed appropriate to the theme today.
Not just for our guests today, but for the world in general. Change is everywhere.
That's right.
It's an appropriate tune. Well, Phil, we're down to our last few minutes, but let's talk about upcoming morning shows and some events.
Sure. So, of course, join us every Tuesday. Next Tuesday, our guest will be Dennison Webb from Selkirk Outdoor Leadership and Experience, talking about some events that they have coming up and their winter programs. But first, tomorrow, we have morning show hosts Chris Bessler. His guests will be Sarah Clitworth and Jennifer Crooks, who will be talking about Yoradi's Village, an orphanage project in Ethiopia based out of Sandpoint, Idaho.
That sounds like a great show. I'll tune in.
And then Jack has Thanksgiving off. I'm not sure how that happened, but happy Thanksgiving. There are things going on for Thanksgiving.
But not the morning show.
But not the morning show.
Enjoy Thanksgiving, Jack. That'll be great. But there is a 9th annual Turkey Trot film that folks can join in, and that's at the West Athletic Club, and it's sponsored by the Sandpoint Parks and Rec Department. 9th annual, it's food drive. It's a low-key event. There's a 5K, a 10K, or whatever distance you want to run or walk. It's free, and the folks there would like you to donate a non-perishable food item to the food bank. Starting at Traverse Park at 9 a.m. So come early and sign your waiver.
Thanksgiving weekend's always a lot of fun in town. For those who are new to Sandpoint, there's some traditions. On Friday, traditionally, is the Christmas tree lighting in Jeff Jones Square, which is quite a fun, family-friendly community event. And this year, Sandy Compton will be reading one of his Christmas classics, Caleb's Miracle. So if he's out there listening now, he has to read it. It's been announced on the radio.
He's not going to be dressed as the big man in red, is he?
I'm not told all of the secrets. I'm just told that he's reading Caleb's Miracle, which always brings a tear to my eye.
Oh, that sounds fun. And then there's something related to White Pines.
Saturday is the annual meeting for the Kinnickinnick Native Plant Society. It also coincides with the monthly program at 9:45 a.m. at the community hall. Every fourth Saturday of every month except the July and August, the Native Plant Society's programs. This month is a special one. Bill Love, retired forester from the Idaho Department of Lands, a private forestry consultant, and a guest occasionally on this show. We've had the pleasure of interviewing about the history of timber in North Idaho. Saturday, he's going to be talking about white pines and blister rust, which are a really important topic to many conservation priorities, restoration priorities here in North Idaho, Northwestern Montana.
And don't be scared away by that topic. I saw him at the Trout Unlimited annual meeting the other night, and we spoke briefly about blister rust and white pines, and I will tell you, it's very interesting. So come and hear it.
Another tradition, or something that's becoming a tradition, are the return of the Shook Twins.
Yes, they're going to be playing at the Panada, and the date on that is going to be, let's not get it wrong, the 26th, Giving Thanks. It's at the Panada, and for more information on that, you can call or go to panada.org, but doors open at 6:30, and the show will start at 7:30, and it's not just them. There will be others.
So you're staying in town this weekend, Julie?
I sure am. What about you, Phil?
Yeah, we're here. We're going to have Thanksgiving with a couple friends, and then Friday probably recover from turkey.
Well, as you probably know, folks, I'm a bit of a sporty family, and Daniel and I are going to try a little fishing the day before and then relax on Thursday, Thanksgiving.
There's no derby this weekend, is there?
Still going on. Get out and catch a big one.
All right. And 4KRFY, we've got a couple things coming up.
Oh, yes, we do. This is an important one, everyone. It's our annual corporation meeting. It's open to the public. It's November 30th at 6 p.m. in the East Bonner County Library Meeting Room. You can call us at 265-2992 for more information, or go online to KRFY Radio, or, well, KRFY.org, or you may email us at KRFYradio@gmail.com. That's a little confusing. Sorry, everyone. But just go to KRFY.org. You'll find the info. Hope we'll see you there.
Do we have any information on the December end of year membership drive yet?
Well, we have a little information about that. It's going to be December 6th, 7th, and 8th. It's a very low-key annual appeal for additional funds to help us get started in the new year. We'll have live DJs for those 3 days, and we'll be asking you for additional support. If you can give, would appreciate it.
And so instead of replacing programming with constant appeals, it's going to be special targeted programming. The morning show is going to have guests in who are going to talk about the radio station, how it runs, why people support it,
Absolutely.
How they're part of it.
It'll be fun, and it's going to be low-key. You'll still hear plenty of music.
It should be a lot of fun. Well, we're about out of time. We're going to take it out with some Sheryl Crow's version of an old Beatles tune, Mother Nature's Son. That's all for this week.
Have a great week, everybody.